Amen. Now, this is just a few testimonies of what God did within the people in our church, right? If you reflect back, just think back before you came to church. Reflect back on your upbringing, growing up, right? When I was growing up, I always lived in the ghetto, right? In the hood. There was always gang violence. There was always drug addicts. There was always drug dealers, right? We live in the hood all the time. God proved himself faithful back then. And it wasn't until God really opened my eyes and revealed his true love, his faithfulness to me, that I can actually reflect. See, at any time when I was young, with all the gang violence, I could have got shot, right? I could have joined in a gang. But God saved me from all of that. And growing up, right, I started smoking weed. Eighth grade, I got kicked out for selling weed. And then I ended up becoming a drug addict. I could have overdosed on drugs, right? But God is faithful. In high school, I was stealing cars. But God is faithful. At any time, a person could have came out while I was in their car and killed me. But God proved faithful. Even before I was saved, God showed me how faithful he really was. I'm here today because of God's faithfulness. All of us are here today because of God's faithfulness, right? It ain't because of who we are. It ain't because we were good people, right? Because a lot of us weren't good people. I can testify to that. I wasn't a good person. I would have been the first person to get your wallet, or you left your purse in your car, I would have busted your window and took your purse, right? But because of God's faithfulness, I'm here today. And I want everybody just to reflect back for a second. Those times where some people may have been in an accident, right? You could have died in an accident. Or being a drug dealer. Somebody could have robbed you and killed you. Whatever your walk with God before you came to God was, God was faithful in it. He has you here today because of his faithfulness, right? And today, before we open up in Scripture, I just want to tell the background of what was taking place at this time. We're going to be reading out of Exodus. And at this time, Israel was being held captive, right? They were being enslaved by the Egyptians. And the reason why they were being enslaved is because Pharaoh saw how big they were getting. He was scared. He said, the more that they keep growing, they're already outnumbering us. They're getting stronger. So like a true leader would do, he said, let's take care of it right away. Let's enslave them so that they can't take over us, right? And Pharaoh said, you know, if we let it go, they're going to continue to grow. And then one day when the battle breaks out, they're going to get with our enemies, and they're going to take over us. So Pharaoh, being the leader that he was, he came and enslaved the people of Israel. Now, God is faithful, right? You guys believe that here this day? God is faithful. So while they were enslaved, there was a couple, a man and a woman. They got married, and they had a child, right? But at this time, Pharaoh saw that there was growth taking place even with them being slaves. So he said, all the boys at birth, I want them killed, right? He wanted all of them killed. Why? Because he didn't want them to grow. He didn't want them to continue to multiply. He didn't want them to grow to be soldiers in the army of Israel. So he wanted all of them killed. And there was a couple that had a baby. And they knew there was something about this kid, right? There was something about this baby. So they kept him for 3 months. And before, you know, Pharaoh got a hold of it, they couldn't hide him no more, so they put him in a basket and they shipped him up the river. For some of us that don't know the story, Pharaoh's daughter ended up getting him. And she ended up raising him, and she named him Moses, right? We've heard of Moses. He was a great man. But how many know God's faithful, right? Moses was raised up at the Pharaoh's place by Pharaoh's daughter. And as Moses continued to grow, he continued to see what was taking place in Egypt with his fellow people, his Israelites. He was born to Hebrew parents, right? And they were all together. So one day, Moses walks out, and he sees an Egyptian man beating a Hebrew man. And what did he do? Like some of us would do, look around, and he killed him, right? Buried him in the sand. And so he was trying to hide what was taking place. So he goes out the next day, and he sees two Hebrew men fighting. And he said, "Why do you guys fight?" And the guy that started the fight said, "Who are you? You know, you're the one that just killed that Egyptian yesterday, right?" And so Moses got scared, because he knew if Pharaoh got a hold of it, a word of it, that Pharaoh was going to kill him. And that's exactly what was going to happen. So Pharaoh found out, and he went to go kill Moses. But Moses, getting the drift of it, found out and took off, right? So as Moses left, he's walking, he meets a woman, you know, things take place, they ended up getting married, he ends up having a son. Well, while Moses was tending his herd, right, God's angel revealed himself in a burning bush, right, and told him that he was going to be the person that God was going to use to free his people, to free Israel, God's people, and Moses' people, right? So that was just a little background of what was taking place. And it's going to be a little bit of reading, but bear with me, amen? Go to the book of Exodus 14, chapter 1 through 31. As we read, it says, "Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shores across from Baal Zethum. Then Pharaoh would think, 'The Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and will chase after you.'" He would chase after you. "I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites camped there as they were told. Verse 5, when word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. "What have we done, letting those Israelite slaves get away?" they asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariots and called up his troops. Verse 7, he took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with its commander. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel, who had left with fists raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all his horses and chariots, his charioteers and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore of Pihahiroth, across Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached the people of Israel, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why do you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone.'" Amen. leave us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Right, see, if we put this in our words, right? Egypt is our bondage. Egypt is our sin, right? And see, what the Israelites are saying is, why didn't you just leave me there? Are you guys going to tell God, why don't you leave me in my sin? Why don't you leave me in my bondage? See, we may forget at times because we don't see with God's eyes what he's trying to do. See, they didn't see what God truly spoke to Moses. Moses did signs and wonders that God has asked them to in front of the people of Israel so that they can believe what God was doing. Amen? Verse 13, but Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. And I will harden the hearts. Just stay calm. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on a dry ground. Verse 17, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am Lord. Then the angel of God, who had been leading the people of Israel, moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of the cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and Israelites did not approach each other all night. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, charioteers, chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. Let us get out of here, away from these Israelites. The Egyptians shouted, the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Amen. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their chariots and charioteers. So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hands over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the water returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh, of all the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea. Not a single one survived. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. That is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen. See, that's a powerful story of how God comes through on our behalf. Amen. See, even when they didn't believe, even when their backs were up against the wall, when they truly didn't believe that God was going to come through, amen, he spoke a word. He said he was going to do it, right? And what kind of God do we serve? We don't serve a God that's going to say something and not do it. We serve a God that he fulfills the promises that he's given his people. See, God hears all of his people's cries. He heard the cry of the Israelites before Moses was even going to be in a position to save them. He heard the cries of his people. He heard the cries of the Israelites. And I believe we still serve the same God that hears our cries. Amen? We serve a God that hears our cries. Now, are we going to stop crying for him? Are we going to stop crying out to him? No, because he hears our cries. He knows where we're at. But he also knows where we're going. So he's going to put us in a position to wait for him, to truly see if we believe in him. Amen? See, he's not just going to give it to us right away. Because what we do in our time is going to mess his whole plan up for our lives. If he gives us our promises before they're due, well, we're going to mess them up. But if we wait for our promises and we let everything take its course, well, then that's when God's going to come through on our behalf. See, I believe the Israelite army, they wanted to be saved a long time ago. I believe the Bible records over 400 years they were held captive. And I know that the whole time they were there, they didn't want to be there, right? They wanted God to come through. But God is going to do things on his own time. But he remains faithful, right? God remains faithful. See, God not only delivered the people of Israel, but he used one of them, right? Moses was supposed to be killed at birth, regardless. He was supposed to be a dead man, but God chose him. God saw something within him that said, you know what? I'm going to save you, and I'm going to use you. And not only am I going to use you in a certain way, but I'm going to use you in this way to take your people out of bondage, out of slavery. Amen? I have a question here today. Do we have people here today that shouldn't be here? Right? Like Moses, none of us should be here today. We should have all been taken out. But because of God's grace and mercy, because of his faithfulness, we stand in the temple of God, in the presence of God, right? None of us should be here this day. I can testify to that. Some of us may not even want to be here today, but because of God's faithfulness, you're here. You're here to hear a word from God, right? See, God's looking to use everybody in this church. We got to see the bigger picture of what God's going to do in and through our lives. God didn't bring us to this church just to be taking up seats, seat warmers. I don't think God saved us to be seat warmers, right? He saved us to go and help save others, like he did to Moses. He saved Moses to help others. The Bible records that there were over 600,000 men that were in Egypt, right? That's not counting the women and the children. Over 600,000 people that got saved because of one man. Because of God's faithfulness to use one man, right? He saved Moses to save many, to save his nation. And in doing so, he took out the Egyptians, all of them. Not one person survived, right? God's looking to use you. You may say that I'm here today, but I have turned away from God. Right? I've said things that I shouldn't have said. I've done things that I shouldn't have done. Right? Things like that happen in your walk with God. There's things that take place that you feel like, man, God, I'm not worthy enough to be in your presence. I'm not worthy to come back to the church and never be used again. Or I'm not worthy to even come to a church. I hear people say it a lot when I witness to them, man, if I go into church, I'm a burn. I said, if that was the case, you'd be burning on the streets, right? That's not a truth. That's a lie that comes straight from the pit of hell, right? A lot of people, the devil uses that line to keep people out of the church. If I go in there, I'm a burn. If that was the case, this place would be on fire, right? And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about a physical fire, right? But that's not a truth because of God's faithfulness. Yeah, there's a fire in this place, but it's because of God. He fills us with the fire, with his spirit. Amen? And I'm here to tell you that no matter what you did, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you said or whatever you did, God's still here with you, right? In the book of Romans 3, Romans 3:3-4 reads, true, some of them were unfaithful. Amen. Some of us were unfaithful. But just because they were unfaithful, does that mean God will be unfaithful? Of course not. Even if everyone is a liar, God is truth. As the scripture says about him, you will be proved right in what you say, and you will win your case in court. Amen. Just because of us being unfaithful doesn't mean that God's going to be unfaithful. Right? Just because we're unfaithful at times doesn't mean God's not going to come through on our behalf. See, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you feel like you're going. If it isn't in God's plan and in God's will, it's not going to happen. But God is faithful. Amen. I just want to relay that message today of how faithful God truly is. Right? We see it in our church today. Just us being able to show up. It takes rides. It takes gas. It takes people waking up. We're all here today, right? We all got gas. Some more than others, right? We're all here today. We're all breathing, right? We're able to walk in the presence of God. He's faithful. We don't see those things here this day, right? We don't see that God has provided many ways for us to be here, to look nice, to smell nice, to act nice, some people, right? We don't see the faithfulness that God is really doing every day. So ask me how faithful God is. Ask me how faithful God is. God is so faithful that he prayed for the people that were persecuting him. God is so faithful that he prayed for the people that were going to kill him. Right? That shows how faithful he is. What did he say? Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. Right? He's faithful. He prayed for people that were going to kill him. I don't know about you, but if somebody's after me, the last thing I'm going to do is pray for him. But that's just me being truthful, right? Because I'm not God. I still fall short. I still have anger within inside of me. I'm not ashamed to say it because I know how great God is, how faithful he is. If somebody's after me, I'm not going to pray for him. I have some words to say to him, but it's not going to be something they want to hear. Words won't be the only thing that get exchanged, right? It's going to be some fists. Things are going to happen. But God is faithful, right? He prayed for him, right? He asked for forgiveness for them. Now, could he have called down the angels and rescued them? Yeah, but that's something he had to do. Why? Because he wanted to remain faithful. Because he's seen a church, Victory Outreach Milwaukee, in 2015, here this morning, that people needed to be saved by, right? He's seen us before we even seen him. He's seen that we were all going to be here this day. And not only did he see that we were going to be here this day, he stayed faithful to be here with us, right? Because the presence of God is here this day. Amen? I believe the reason why God is so faithful to us is because of his love for us. Right? God is faithful to us because of his love. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 21, it reads, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercy never ceases. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin fresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. His faithfulness will never end, right? It's not going to end today. It's not going to end tomorrow. Not next week. Not when you want it to end. No, it's never going to end, right? Not even when we pass away, his faithfulness is going to end. And what's really good about it is that his grace and mercies are fresh every day, right? So it doesn't matter what took place. We get a cheat sheet. We get something fresh every morning to wipe away what took place the night before, right? His grace and mercies are fresh every day. See, and don't I know that that is a benefit for a people like us, right? A people that fall short. And when we fall short, right? Am I talking to Victory Outreach? When we fall short, right? But it's because of his grace and mercy that we're able to get back up and go on and continue to do God's work, God's will within this city. It's because of his grace and mercy. See, God has promised to do new things within our lives, right? There's new things that are going to take place. There's going to be new men and women raising up in the church. Amen. God promised a lot of things to each and every one of us. I know a promise that God gave me was that my family would be coming to church. And not all at once, but I've seen my mother come. I've seen all my brothers come. I've seen my sister come. I've seen my cousins come and my uncle come. And God's showing me that, hey, though they're not all there at the same time, that's a promise that I've given you. Stand on that promise. Whatever God promised you, stand on it. Why? Because he's always going to come through with his promises. He also promised me that one day that I was going to be preaching. And, amen, I'm here today preaching. And it was because of God's grace and mercy, right? The first Mighty Men of Valor I went to, God gave me a vision of me preaching. And it was to the youth. Guess where I'm at? I oversee the youth ministry. I get a chance to preach to the youth, right? But not only that, he has allowed me to preach at a Sunday morning service to my fellow brothers and sisters in the church, right? Not just youth, but adults, people that may feel that are older than me, some people that are younger than me. See, God fulfills his promises. It may not be on our time, but he always comes through on time. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand of praise. Amen. See, some people here today may be waiting for God to move on their behalf. Stay tuned, because God is going to move. As long as you stay faithful, even when you don't remain faithful, he's still going to remain faithful. But I believe God's going to move a lot faster when you stay in a position for him to be able to move. Right? If you're out of position, it's going to be hard for him. It's going to take more time to get you into that position and to move on your behalf. Stay in position and see what God's going to do. God's been doing a lot of things within our church, right? He hasn't blessed us with this facility to just have regular church Sunday and Wednesday and have youth Friday. No, he's blessed us with this facility, and we've been holding things here, right? We've been having, you know, women's discipleships. We've been having men's discipleships here. We've been having regional prayer services here, right? And that's God showing us that, hey, this is what's going to happen every service, right? It's not just going to be a regional event. No, this is what's going to happen every service as long as you remain faithful. God's going to fill this place, and he's going to use a people like us into reaching those that are coming in hurting. He's going to use a people like us to fill this place, right? Our family members are going to be some of those that fill this place. Our friends, right? Our fellow brothers and sisters that are still lost and bound, right? God's going to fill this place with people that were just like you and I before we came to Christ. But he wants to use a faithful people. Amen. Do we have some faithful people in the church? Amen. We have a bunch of faithful people in the church. And no matter where you're at in your walk with Christ, you can always continue to build. You can always continue to go forward. Continue to go from glory to glory in the presence of God. Amen. Remain faithful first to God, and then remain faithful to what he has entrusted you with. See, I have a beautiful wife. I have four beautiful kids. Me and the team oversee the youth ministry, right? We stay faithful to God first. And we believe that God's going to move within my family's life, my wife, my children, within the youth, right? Just this past Friday, I believe we had a powerful service. The prayer was there, right? The Spirit of God was there. And why? It's because there were some faithful people that continue to go forward no matter we had two youth members or if we had 20 youth members, right? We stay faithful because we know God's going to stay faithful. Amen? And I want to thank the youth leaders, man. They have been, you know, a blessing because they stay faithful, they stay committed no matter what season they're in, no matter what's taking place within their life. They stay faithful because God has remained faithful. Amen? See, God loves us so much. And when you love something, you sacrifice, right? You like to have a bunch of shoes, you sacrifice your money, you go buy some shoes. You like to have a nice car, you sacrifice and you go get a nice car, right? You sacrifice. When you love something, you truly sacrifice. And God loved us so much that he sacrificed his son for us, right? That's true love. That's true faithfulness. God loved us so much that he sacrificed his son for us to be here this day. Though none of us deserve to be here this day, right? We're here today because of God's sacrifice. Amen. And if it wasn't because of his sacrifice, not one of us would be here this day. Amen. But we're here in the house of God. We're here, right? We're here. We're not here just to be here, right? For that, we could have just stayed home sleeping. It would have been better, right, than to sit up and sleep. No, we're here because God has us here, because he's faithful to us. Now it's our turn to do our part and be faithful to him. No matter what circumstances you may be going through, no matter what trials you may be in, no matter what storm you're up against, right, God has you here for a reason. He's here to see you through your trials. He's here to see you through your storms. But he wants you to remain faithful in the process. Right? See, and some of us know and some of us may know. Amen. Some of us may know and some of us may not know, but pastor's in Texas because his father passed away. Right? He passed away Wednesday. And so the funeral was going to be held Sunday and Monday. And so this is how faithful God is, right? Pastor's been busy. We have a pastor that's not here just to sit back and study, right? He does that, yeah. But he's also a person that leads by example. He's been working for months now, right? Doing all kinds of jobs. His father was sick. And he was putting God first, making sure these doors stay open, right? And God's so faithful that he allowed Pastor Charlie to go see his father before he passed away, right? At any time, God could have took Pastor Charlie's father away and Pastor Charlie could have been here in Milwaukee. But God's so faithful that the day before his father passed away, Pastor Charlie ended up flying out there, right? So Pastor Charlie got to go there Tuesday, and he got to stay with them Wednesday. He told me he was praying in the room all day, right? God's so faithful that he allowed Pastor to see his father, right? In the book of Psalms, it says, that he'll give you the desires of your heart, right? He'll give you what your heart desires. And I believe a desire of Pastor Charlie's heart was to go see his father before he passed away, right? A man that raised him. You know, if my father were about to pass away, I would want to see him. No matter what took place within our past life, I would want to see my father. And God is so faithful that he allowed Pastor Charlie time from his busy schedule to break away and go see his father, right? That's the God we serve. He's going to make time for you to do what you need to do, no matter what's taking place. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. But you got to stay with the Lord. You got to stay faithful. Amen? Somebody say faithful. God is faithful in everything that He does. No matter if you're in your good season or bad season, God's going to stay faithful. In your good season, He's going to see you through it. He's going to bless you. In your seasons where you're off or you're going through a storm, He's still going to see you through and He's still going to bless you. But you have to get through the storm. Amen? And in closing, as the worship team makes their way, if you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. And his word reads, "This is a trustworthy saying. I will die with him. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardships, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny who he is." Right? If we die with Christ, we live with him. Amen? If we endure hardships, we're going to reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us. But if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. Why? It's because of who he is. It's not because of who we are. It's because of who he is.